Good morning, church. Today is Father's Day, so I want to wish all the fathers in our midst this morning attending the worship. I wish you good health, that's most important, and that you are full with God's blessings. And normally I would like to ask all the fathers to stand up, but this morning I guess you can do that. But after the service, so first time in the last few months, I'm going to say that you can now actually take your there to go to a restaurant. I mean, restaurants are open, but follow all the safety guidelines. If you do go out to the restaurant eat, or just eat at home, eat in your backyard, eat in the park. Year 2020 is a very special year. Because of the COVID-19, the whole world has been turned upside down. And we, our church, well, like all the other churches, has been greatly impacted by all the restrictions. And we're slowly, hopefully, not too long, that we can resume some small size gatherings at church. And we will let you know when we update. So this week we will have our board meeting, so we're going to decide on that. And because of the pandemic, the whole world is also in some sense united together to fight against this invisible enemy, the virus. And almost every part of the world has been impacted. So year 2020 is truly a unique time for us. And now suddenly, while we are just getting used, maybe I shouldn't say use the word getting used, we'll never get used to this pandemic restrictions. And suddenly another world event unfolded in front of our eyes. And suddenly we see demonstrations, protests, in Canada, in Europe, over the world, all because of one police incident in U.S. But obviously, it's not because of one incident. So the problem has been there all along. And suddenly, there are protests and become on the news. Instead of the virus, that now we have and other issues that taken the top spot in our daily news. And then we talk about racial harmony, racial prejudice, racial inequality, social injustice. All these terms, I'm sure we all trying to find out what's the meaning of all these different terms. And certainly we talk about the hostility, the social injustice in our system, in our society, in the world. And this becomes a hot topic, even in our parliament this week, if you were watching the news in our Canadian parliament. Even that become a hot topic just this week. And there are protests everywhere. And in the last few months, I think we as Asians are also concerned, as we saw some news about some Asian females being attacked. So we're all very concerned. Racism is the judgment of one person that he or she is better than another based on race. But not only race, there's also other prejudice that sometimes we put on other people, culture, education, outer appearance, social status, our possessions, what kind of car you drive, drive an expensive car or just a Corolla. So it's more than just our racial, our ethnicity, also appearance. There's prejudice against culture, education, this hostility between different groups. And what does the Bible teach us on this topic. How does the Bible see the different ethnic groups, different races? We go back to the beginning of God's creation, Genesis 1. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth." With the very first chapter, the first book of the Bible, God clearly stated to us that men are created in the image of God. We are all created, all, not just some people. Well, there's only God only created two people in the beginning, Adam and Eve. And we are all, the people came from Adam and Eve. So we are all created, we all share this God's image. So all human are created in the image of God. There is only one race, it's from Adam and Eve. All the people came from this one race. When we were in Washington, D.C. last year, we visited the National Museum of Natural History. And there it says, in the museum, so it says, the DNA of all human beings living today is 99.9% alike. If you go to their website, you will read this. The DNA of all human beings, even though they are different race, different ethnic groups, nations, different group of culture, people, but the DNA of all human beings living today is 99.9% alike. This is what the Bible teaches us. We all come from one race. There's only one race. It's the race of Adam and Eve. The Bible teaches us, 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Not only our outer appearance, how good looking we are, how handsome, how beautiful we are, and our status in the society. God doesn't look at us from the outside. He looks at us only the true us. So each one and every one of us is made in the image of God. We were created to love like God. We are created to show compassion like God himself. We are created to show mercy and forgiveness and forgiving. But because of sin, we oppose to love, compassion, and mercy. Racism is contrary to everything that we know about God. Physical differences and ethnic distinctions are secondary to being made in the image of God. We are from various different ethnicities, but there's only one race, and we are all made in the image of God. Today we speak different languages. Even in VCAC here, we speak different languages. So when did we start having the different languages? Genesis 11, from verse 1 onward. This is a passage that we are very familiar about the Tower of Babel. Now the whole world used the same language and the same words. They said, "Come, let us build for ourselves a city, a tower whose top will reach into heaven. And let us make for ourselves a name. Otherwise, we will be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. God, if you remember what I just read from Genesis 1, God wanted them to fill the earth, right? To look after this earth, to take care of the earth, to spread God's name over the earth. But instead, they want to gather together in the same place to build a city, to build a tower, to build a tower that can glorify, to make themselves a name. So this is opposite to God's planning. The Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language. And this is what they began to do. And now nothing which they propose to do will be impossible for them." So what did the Lord do? "Come, let us go down and there and confuse their language, so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth. And they stopped building the city and the tower, and the tower to glorify themselves. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of the whole world. And from there, the Lord scatters them abroad over the face of the whole earth. It's because of their self-righteousness, because of their self-centeredness. They want to glorify themselves. And this isn't that exactly what's happening today. Today, even though we have different languages, different ethnic groups, different countries, nationalities, nations, today, but countries are still connecting together to oppose God. And if you look at more and more nations on earth, they're joining together not to glorify God, but to turn against God, against the teaching of the Bible. So the history just repeats itself. Even though today we have different languages, different cultures, but yet nothing has changed. Because man's heart, his nature is sinful. Is this hopeless for human race? It is not. Because you continue to read on, just not that much further, then you notice that God blessed Abram, later on become Abraham, that God will use them. God will use him and his descendants to bless all the nations. All the nations, all the people on earth will be blessed because of Abram, because of the covenant Abram had with Jehovah, with God. God will bless Israel so that they can bring blessings to other people, other cultures. And in the Micah, and in that's actually Micah of chapter 4, verse 1, "And it will come about in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and the people from everywhere, every country, will stream to it." So here the prophet is prophesying that one day the Tower of Babel will be reversed, will be changed. So instead of people scattering out to the end of the earth, one day they will all stream back to it. And I will go back to this. This is the prophecy in the Old Testament. Looking at other people and judging other people based on their outer appearance, whether it's color of skin, ethnicity, country, is a sin. James 2:9, "But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers." First, we have to realize that by judging other people based on their outer experience, prejudice based on people, how they look, is a sin. The scripture tells us that it's a sin. Discrimination against anyone on the basis of social status, wealth, sex, it's not what God wants us. It is from Satan. Satan is the culprit behind all this the hostility between people. We first need to realize that it is a sin before we can take this seriously. We have to be able to stand on God's truth. So pride, hatred, self-centered, bullying, looking down on other people, this is not from God. This is from Satan. For the Jews in the first century, the problem with them is not color of the skin. For them, it is they see themselves as the chosen people. It's between the Jews and the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people. The Jews see themselves as a special class of people. They're the people of God, which is true, but they look down upon the other people. They see them as Gentiles, barbarians, outside the salvation of God. So in their eyes, they don't see them as equal, on the equal, standing equally with the Jews. They see all the Gentiles, they're below their next class down. And God only loves them. And they see them, they are not circumcised. They have no connection with the Christ. They are not the Israelites. They are not in God's promise. They are hopeless. They're hopeless on this world, and they don't have God. They don't even dare to eat with them, and definitely not to have marriage with them. So that's why they look down upon the Samaritans. The Samaritans are the Jewish people who have mixed marriage. They marry the Gentiles. So the Jewish people, they look down in the first century, they look down upon the people in the Samaritans. And this is all from Satan. Jesus did not teach hate, racism, or prejudice when he walked on earth. He taught us love, only love. And it's only love can remove the barrier between people, between ethnic groups, nations, people with different cultures. We try very hard today. It's good that the whole world now have attention again on this issue. We try hard, we have to, right? Government have to try hard. Our education system need to educate, teach. But for men to learn to love people not of our kind, our group, it's always hard. This is because it's our nature. It's not our nature to love. Yes, we love, we try to love, but we will never be able to match the love that Jesus want us to exercise, to give, to practice. John 13, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. We are already familiar with this commandment. Love one another. And I think we have been practicing that. At least at VCAC, I see we all at least try very hard to love one another. We have some seniors coming in when the church was open to cook meals for the family fellowships, for the youth. It's totally out of love. I think I shared this before. Right? It's coming at their own time. They cook. Sometimes they just even wash the dishes and leave. And then we have brothers and sisters driving seniors to do shopping, to come to fellowships. And we have the adults caring for the young, for the children. So I would say that VCAC is a church of love. And that's what we learn. And that's the commandment from Jesus, to love one another. But here, if you read carefully, Jesus said that, a new command I give to you, love one another. We all know that. But the next sentence, you love one another as I have loved you. So that means you love other people as much as I love you. How much Jesus loved us? He loved us so much that he died on the cross for us, for each one of us, for all the people in the world. He loved us so much, even when we were sinners, he died for us. He suffered for us. He loved people so much that he doesn't just only love a certain kind of people. To Jesus, there's no barrier. There's no particular groups, whether it's a female, a small child, poor people, sick people, Samaritans, people who are not part of from the Jewish community, people that the society despise, the tax collectors, even people with really disease, with contagious, infectious disease. Jesus loved all of them. He loved every kind of people that he met, and he died for everybody. Wow, that's a bit challenging, isn't it, for us to learn how to love. It's easy to love people in VCC, I hope. Easy to love your pastors. Easy to love your family members. Easy to love the people in your fellowship. Even people in your own congregation. But Jesus said, you love the other people as I have loved you. That is very challenging. I still remember some years ago when I was still working downtown, and sometimes I took the bus, and one time I was at downtown after work waiting for a bus to come home. So a bus came. It's not the one that I'm waiting for, and as at the center part of the bus, the door, the exit door opened, and then there is an old fellow, old man, trying to come down, come out of the bus, and because there's a step on the bus, and he probably not comfortable stepping out down from the bus. So he stretched out his hand and said, "No, anybody want to give me a hand?" And from the look, I can tell that he is one of these street people. He was in really dirty clothes, very shabby looking. His face is all filled with dirt. And when he stretched out his hand, his arm, and said, "Can somebody give me a hand?" And suddenly, I felt that all the people waiting at the bus stop next to me, they all move back about 1 millimeter. But being a Christian, a church leader, so I stepped forward and stretched out my arms and said, "Take my hand." So I'm helping this old man down the steps and out of the bus. But as I hold on to his hand, and then I realized suddenly I smell this really stinky smell, just like a wave just come to my face, and I can almost suffocate. I cannot almost breathe that smell. Probably he haven't taken a shower for a long time, and the hand is really sticky. His hand is really dirty. So suddenly at that moment, I felt, oh, I want to pull back my hand. I can't, the smell is so difficult for me. But then I said, oh, if I took back my hand, he may fall. And then I may be in the news next day, you know, pulling down an old poor man from the bus, you know, I become on the news. So I had to let him hold on to my hand, and then it looks like he took forever to come down the steps, you know. Must be a long time. So after he came out of the bus onto the sidewalk, he let go of my hand, and he didn't even say thank you and just walk away. So for the moment I look at my hands, what do I do with my hand now? It's so dirty and I don't have a Kleenex. And how am I going to get on the bus and go home still? It'll be a long time before I get home. And suddenly at that moment, and then I realized that all I've been talking about, love other people, there is really a limit. There's really a condition. My love for people is no match for Jesus' love for us. I am really thousands of miles away when Jesus said, "You love one another as I have loved you." And when we reflect on ourselves, our love is no match, no comparison to that of Jesus. Jesus set us an example how he loved the people who were despised by the Jews at the time. In those days, as I said, the Jewish people will avoid even walking through the place Samaria. And if you look at the map, you know that if they want to come from north to Jerusalem, the easiest way is to go right straight through Samaria. But they would rather go around in a big circle to bypass Samaria because they just despise the Samaritans so much. Just like today, if you go to Richmond from Vancouver, you would like to take the Oaks Strip Bridge or the Granville Bridge. But because you don't like the people living around in that bridge, so you go around to Burnaby, and then you go a big circle, come through New West, even Surrey, to go to Richmond. So when you come home from Richmond to Vancouver, you go around a circle again. So the Jewish people at that time, they rather do that to avoid walking through Samaria. But Jesus, from the gospel, we have read that Jesus, sometimes he purposely walked through Samaria so that he can minister to people there. And we have read in the gospel that Jesus healed a Samaritan leper. Never mind, it's an old street people. He healed a leper, people with leprosy. And we all read about this story. It's true, not a story, right? Read about the woman at the well. Jesus ministered to the woman at the well. Jesus loved them. And Jesus just showed the people at that day. He probably is politically incorrect, in today's term, during his time. But people saw that his unbiased love towards any group of people, even the people that the Jews despise. Jesus never despised a person based on the person's ethnicity, group, sex, status, appearance. Jesus loved all the people, and he asked us to love other people like he did. Pentecost signified a new age, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And a very interesting incident happened at Pentecost. We all study this. When the Pentecost came, and the people gathering there, the disciples, the followers of Jesus, they all spoke in a different language of their own. They each speak the language of the other. Today we call it speaking in tongues, right? They certainly speak a different language. And there are many tongues there, many people from different groups there. In Acts chapter 2, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Mesopotamian, Judea, Cappadocia, just keep going on. And all these different language groups. And suddenly, the people there gathering, the followers of Jesus, they all spoke a different language of their own. And suddenly, the language barrier is removed. Isn't that interesting? Why God used this miracle to signify the coming of the Holy Spirit? Why they all suddenly speaking in tongues? The language barrier at that moment is suddenly removed. And then I thought of the Tower of Babel. In Babel, because people against God, God make them speak in different language so that they are divided, so that they scatter on the earth to fulfill God's command to fill the earth and to look after the earth. At Pentecost, God removed the language barrier as a sign, and they all united in the Holy Spirit as one people again. So Pentecost is the reverse of the Tower of Babel because of Jesus' death on the cross. The Tower of Babel, there's a confusion of language, of tongues, and the people scatter. But at Pentecost, the speaking of tongues unite them together in one spirit. And at the Tower of Babel, God scattered the people in judgment to the four corners of the earth, at Pentecost. God called them all united together as one people of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. At the Tower of Babel, people result in disunity. But at Pentecost, it results in unity in the Spirit. And this unity is through Christ Jesus. There is neither Jews nor Gentiles, slaves or free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And this is what the gospel is about. 2,000 years ago before the Pentecost, and people scatter into different language groups. 2,000 years later at Pentecost, because of Jesus Christ, and all the people now at that time with different languages, different culture, different ethnicity, but they are united again as one people in Christ Jesus. Isn't this fantastic? Even this marvelous? Isn't God's plan wonderful? All this is in God's great scheme of His control planning for the human history. And now we are once again, we are all united. Even though nowadays we have different languages, different ethnic groups. Even in China, there are more than 50 ethnic groups. But because of Jesus, we can now all be united. So the true force that unites us together today to remove the barrier between Jews, different religious groups, Jews and Gentiles, slave free and free, male and female, it is the cross of Jesus. Billy Graham said, when true Christians look at other people, they see no color, nor class, nor condition, but simply human beings with the same longings for God, the same needs, the love of God, and the aspiration as our own. The cross removes the hostility of people, and in one body to reconcile both them to God through the cross by which He put to death their hostility. Today, we need more than ever before, we need to remove this hostility between different ethnic groups, nations, different race. Even though the Bible said that we are all only one race, we all from Adam and Eve. Today, we need to remove the hostility between the people. And yes, to start with from us, from you, not from the government, from other groups, from other authority. Start from you sitting here today. Start from us. We today, when we look at our church, just look at VCAC, we don't want to look very far. Even in our church, I think our church is a beautiful church. I know that some people may not find it comfortable because we have so many different cultures here. Even though a lot of us, most of us are Asians, but we are from different cultures. I counted last night. Among our list this morning, we have Canadians, or whatever the definition of that. Some of them are born here. I guess the ones who were born here, I guess Canadians born here. Even though you're not born here, you're still a Canadian. The ones who are born in Canada, the ones we have the term called one and a half gen. I guess I myself is one and a half. I came as a teen, so I graduated. I gone through my high school here, so I guess we are labeled as one and a half. Then we have people from Hong Kong in the Cantonese congregation, Singapore in our midst, Vietnam, Malaysia, we have Korean, Indonesia, from Taiwan. We have different ethnic groups, from different culture. But even in the Mandarin congregation, China has many different ethnic groups. Some from the north of China, southern of China, Shandong, Xinjiang, they're all from different parts of China. And it's beautiful that we can all serve, worship God together under one roof. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that this more beautiful than if there's only a one culture group here that we are worshiping? I know that'd be easier. It's more challenging for us to all worship together, have fellowship together, to serve together under one roof. But I think this is beautiful. And I think this is what God's plan is for all the churches. We are made of people from different backgrounds. And I long for us to be more, even one day, more accurately reflect the racial and ethnic diversity in our communities. So we need to intentionally to integrate and become a community, VCAC, become a community of all people, regardless of race and ethnicity. That's why I'm a very strong supporter of international students. We can at least start to minister to the young people, students from the other nations. And I know that our young people, Clay, they're starting a campus ministry this week to reach to more students. So I truly hope that our church, VCAC, will one day become a more, even more racially, ethnically diverse in our community. We need to start from us to repent, to learn to understand the other people, other cultural groups, different backgrounds. And we need to share God's gospel. That's why we are so emphasis on mission to reach out to the other nations. Because one day in heaven, the Bible clearly said that. We all sing songs in heaven. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. So in heaven is people with different language groups. I don't know what language will be, but it will be all different. So at earth, we should practice that. The church on earth is a rehearsal. So we should try. And the only way that we can all have harmony together is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Because he purchased all of us for God. The closer people of all races, or all race get to Christ and his cross, the closer they will get to one another. Let us pray. Father, in this time, we see there's hatred, fights, struggles between different groups of people on earth. Father, we pray that your love will fill our hearts and start from start with us, that we will learn to love others as you have loved us, so that we can share this love, and through this love, we bring harmony to different groups, to between all nations. It is only your love can unite us together. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.